Our scripture text this morning, as Hector said, I feel like I'm pretty well wired and mic'd up here, but that one I think is still out. Anyhow, our scripture text this morning is taken from the last book of the Bible and almost the last chapter of that book, the next to last, the 21st chapter of Revelation. It's on page number 1937. In your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there. Also, you have a green bulletin insert that has some sermon notes and some fill-in-the-blanks to follow along as we go along this morning. A picture of heaven as the King comes. We're waiting here for His return, just as the people of God in the beginning of the New Testament times, well, all through the Old Testament times, were waiting for his first advent. We'll be talking about that beginning with Advent Sunday number one next week. But this week, we focus on what sets that up and carries us from the end of the church calendar year. The church calendar is different from our regular calendars, the Roman calendar, I guess it is. The end of the church calendar is this Sunday, actually, with Christ the King. We anticipate His return and His ruling and the ushering in of His consummate kingdom. And so, as we prepare to transition from there, kind of building from the beginning of Advent, the beginning of the calendar year, Christ's first coming, Advent, Christmas, then Lent, Easter, and so forth. Today we want to focus on this great theme, beginning in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. John the Apostle had a vision, and he said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Skipping down to the end of chapter 21, picking up with verse 22. "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life." We prayed this morning, "Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I want to share a story related to that prayer in the Lord's Prayer. And it's related in a book and a study series by John Ortberg called "God is Closer Than You Think." And I am considering doing this as a Lenten study. Great book, just like the study we did with John Wartburg, who is this man, last time. This book, God is Closer Than You Think, is profoundly helpful to us as we draw near to God. In this study, he shares how this story, actually it's a story related from Christian comedian and humorist Ken Davis. I don't know if you ever heard of Ken Davis or heard him or read anything by him, but he tells a story about John Cassis, one of our nation's finest speakers and a chaplain to the Chicago Bears during their glory years back a number of years ago. And he often gave short talks, inspirational messages on game day to that NFL football team, the Chicago Bears. As John tells it, Mike Ditka was about to deliver a locker room pep talk one day. He looked up and saw defensive tackle William Refrigerator Perry. Do you remember the fridge, Perry? How could he not see him at 338 pounds? The fridge stood out even in a crowd of professional football players. Ditka gestured to the fridge. "When I get finished," he said, "I'd like you to close with the Lord's Prayer." Then the coach began his pep talk. Meanwhile, Jim McMahon, before he played for the Eagles, he's star in Chicago, right? Jim McMahon, a brash, outspoken quarterback, punched John Cassis in the shoulder and said, "Look at Perry," McMahon whispered. "He doesn't know the Lord's Prayer." Sure enough, Perry stood with a look of panic on his face, and his head in his hands. He was sweating profusely. "Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer," Cassius said to McMahon in disbelief. After a few minutes of watching the refrigerator leaking several gallons of sweat, McMahon nudged Cassius again and said, "I bet you 50 bucks Fridge doesn't even know the Lord's Prayer." As Cassius tells the story, he stops to think about and reflect on the absurdity of that moment, and he says, "Here we were sitting in chapel and betting 50 bucks on the Lord's Prayer." Right? When Coach Ditka finished his pep talk, he asked all the men to remove their caps, and then he nodded to Perry, who bowed his head. It was quiet for a few moments before the fridge spoke in a shaky voice, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my..." And Cassius felt a tap on his shoulder. It was Jim McMahon. He said, "Here's the $50. I had no idea Perry knew the Lord's Prayer." Anyhow. In fact, the prayer, the fridge didn't pray. Jesus taught that we're to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the way John Wartburg summarizes that in his book is that means for us, God wants to make up there come down here. He wants heaven to come into our lives. What does Jesus mean when he talks about the kingdom of God? On this Christ the King Sunday, I want to think about this such an important biblical theme, the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the rule and reign of Christ. As I said, this is Christ the King Sunday, a Sunday that's somewhat overlooked compared to the other major celebrations, feasts, and fast days of the Christian year. The overall mission of Jesus was to bring God's presence and power into the lives of Christian believers, into our lives as King and Lord. Jesus wants to transform the world, and it begins with us today. I believe that's the point of the day. Three key kingdom questions that I want to consider this morning is what would this earth look like if God's kingdom were to really come here on earth? Secondly, what is happening in heaven that would happen on earth if God's kingdom were to come fully and completely today? And thirdly, so what if God reigned on earth? After all, it's really the way it was meant to be back in the beginning. It's God's great desire and plan, and should be our prayer as well. So let's think. I have two words that really encapsulate this concept of the kingdom of God: thy kingdom come, thy will be done, already and not yet. Already and not yet. Actually, that's three words. I'm sorry. Already and not yet. Christ has already come. The King has come already, but he has not yet come again and brought his kingdom in all of its fullness. He has already poured out the down payment, the Holy Spirit, in the hearts of believers. So we have a lot of the fruit of heaven and a lot of the blessings from above, but not yet fully, completely, as we will when we get to heaven. As I go through this study with you this morning, it may be difficult to figure out which one of those, the already or the not yet, I'm dwelling on more, I'm emphasizing more. Perhaps I'm not emphasizing either, but both, already and not yet. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's think about the reach and relation of the kingdom of God. The reach and relation of God's kingdom. Consider the Bible's teaching relative to different spheres of life here on earth in our lives. There are lots of different areas of our lives that heaven is already reaching and touching, but will be fully fulfilled. First of all is the sphere of economics and human need in this passage and in the book of Revelation. Thy kingdom come in that day, it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 16, in that day, because Jesus is King, the saints of God will not face drought, famine, poverty. In that day, even now, the King is with us. But then, when he comes, the saints of God will stand before the throne of God, it says in Revelation 7, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them by springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Think about it. The overflow of abundance in this picture of God's kingdom fully realized. Forget the stock market. God's kingdom economy now reigns. In Amos chapter 9, the Old Testament says, the days are coming. The day of the Lord, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills. In God's economy, there shall be no want. God is already pouring out his blessing in the lives of believers. Well, think about the sphere of politics. In this nation so divided, with antagonistic, contentious, vitriolic conversations going on all through the news, the media, the social networks. Even in our denomination, culture wars have people fragmented and divided. In the world, global wars and rumors of wars, in the streets, mass shootings, I watch the news and I watch the skies for Jesus to come again. I watch the news and groan as I think about all the horrific things that are happening in this world, and I can't stand to hear any more conflict going on between this commentator and that commentator or this and that. I comfort myself with the knowledge that Jesus is on the throne. No matter what we face in this life, Jesus is on the throne, and his reign will one day be complete. He will set it all to right. As in, again, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 2, I wrote a song about this one time using this text. In that day, they will say to one another, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will judge between the nations and settle disputes for many peoples. Just think about these words. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation. And they will train for war no more. No more fighting, no more hatred, no more war. The instruments of war will be turned into farm equipment. What a marvelous promise of real and eternal peace in the day of his coming as he sets up his eternal kingdom. No such thing as enemies in the kingdom of God. Well, we can have a taste of that here as we are all part of his kingdom here on earth. As he makes enemies into friends. How about the sphere of true beauty? Think about this picture here in Revelation chapter 21. God's city coming down out of heaven to earth. It's a picture of heaven coming to earth. We read in chapter 1 verse 18. We skipped over this, but the wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. First, the foundation was jasper, second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, carnelian, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, and the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, and the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. Right? Pearly gates we talk about because of this picture and the great street in that city was of pure gold like transparent glass. There's a picture of beauty far transcending any emerald city or magic kingdom or enchanted kingdom or anything that we can Minas Tirith and Lord of the Rings, whatever city you can think of is what we're looking for. In God's city, in God's kingdom, true beauty will rule. In other words, the kingdom of God will be a place where our human hunger for beauty is finally satisfied. No more pollution, no more rundown inner city buildings marred with graffiti, no more urban blight or broken windows, no more concrete ghettos or barrios. The creative genius of God in his kingdom has placed people made in his image, the image of the Creator, would blossom and flourish, and each and every day will be a masterpiece, just beauty over there. The drawings of little children they give to their parents to hang on their refrigerators will each be works of art like Michelangelo or Van Gogh or Picasso. Actually, they're already looking somewhat like Picasso, but then they'll look like Michelangelo and Van Gogh. Consider the implications, our future hope. Not yet, but our future It's becoming a present reality as the intrusion or invasion of God's kingdom here and now. All of the beauty of this world is a foretaste of what we shall see when we see Him face to face, the beatific vision. Already, but not yet. Another sphere of security. Verse 25, on no day will its gates be shut, for there will be no more night. The crime level in this city will be zero. The annual homicide statistic will be zero. The Bible says in the kingdom of God, those days of violence and crime will be over. No more locked doors, no gated communities, no security systems, no combination locks. You'll never lose your keys because you won't need your keys. Won't that be something? Cops will pull people over only to commend them for their civility in driving and their courtesy to other drivers. Imagine that. In fact, their squad cars will pull into donut shops, but the donuts now will be loaded with protein. And the South Beach and Atkins diets will recommend that they be eaten at every meal because it'll not only taste good, but be good for you. Imagine that. Incredible. The kingdom of God is a future hope, but present reality where Christ and when Christ rules, peace and security reign in the hearts of those in whom He abides. Revival, after all, is all about heaven touching earth. Even today, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That great revival hymn. How about the sphere of family life? In Luke chapter 1, we hear these words about Jesus saying, He came to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. In His kingdom, there will be no separations, no more divorce, no more affairs, no abuse, no neglect, no unloved or unwanted children. In His kingdom, the members of a household will stay up late at night thinking how to serve each other. Children will insist that their little brother get a larger piece of pumpkin pie. And people will turn on Jerry Springer to watch shows titled, My Spouse Secretly Loves Me Twice as Much as I Thought He Did. Won't that be a turnaround? Jerry Springer? Well, anyhow. When families seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness here on earth, His righteous principles rule in our homes as the intrusion of heaven comes to pass. Already, but not yet. The sphere of God's presence, one more sphere, the most beautiful words in all of God's kingdom, Revelation 21. I heard a voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and He will live with them. Emmanuel, Christ with us, God with us, His first coming, His second coming, the dwelling of God will be with men. They will be His people and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In His presence, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more tears will be more than just the byline for Johnson's baby shampoo. No more sickness, no more death. No more dying there. We are going to see the King, we sing. No more funeral homes. Caskets turned to toy chests. And hearses into SUVs. No more doubts. We will all know as we have known, are known, the Bible says. No more why questions. Imagine. I can only imagine will be more than a Mercy Me song and the movie made from that. John Lennon's song, Imagine, will be sanctified and satisfied. Think about it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is this real? Is this possible? According to the promise of God. The reality of the kingdom. The reality of the kingdom. The essence of the gospel is the reality of the kingdom come. In Mark chapter 1 verse 14, John the Baptist had just been put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. That was the essence of Jesus preaching. Luke 17:21 again. Once having been asked by the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, and there it is, because the kingdom of God is among you. Or another translation, the kingdom of God is within you. As the Holy Spirit resides with you, the King has come and taken up residence in your heart, and his kingdom is at hand. And where Jesus is, then stepping foot in what is known as Israel today, Palestine, the King had come, and with him the kingdom. The King has come and will come again, and now lives and reigns in our hearts. It's good news. Jesus is on the throne. Christ, even now, as our Apostles' Creed says, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is enthroned in heaven. He rules and reigns over all. Nothing, even here on earth, happens without his consent. As the prophet Isaiah sang, we hear it in Handel's Messiah, comfort ye, my people. Though all seems grim, there's a better day coming. And with his Spirit with you, God with you, even now, we have comfort. His kingdom in our life today. Today, he reigns when he resides in our hearts. On the throne of our hearts, he is to be made King and Lord. When the Holy Spirit dwells within you, his kingdom, power, and presence here and now, not yet fully then and there, but here and now, takes root. That's good news. Christ came, listen, Christ came to bring us to heaven. Plus, Christ came to bring heaven here to us now. Let me say that again in case you missed it. Christ came to bring us to heaven. And in addition, Christ came to bring heaven to you and me here on earth today. And so we have the realization of his kingdom on this Christ the King Sunday. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as you wish, Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. Your will as Lord and King, not my will. Lord, make up there in heaven come down here on earth. Christ, you are the King. Jesus, you are the Lord. Rule and reign in my life. That's a kingdom prayer. Maranatha, O Lord, come. The King is coming. Come, Lord Jesus, even today to our hearts. Oh, come to our hearts, Lord Jesus. He wants to use us to bring his kingdom to bear in this world, to transform and change with kingdom impact. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We are called to make a difference by his grace. be agents of the King here and now. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this glorious and wonderful truth that you are the King, that you are Lord, and that you reign even in the midst of the crazy chaos, conflict, cacophony in this world. We find comfort in knowing that you are on the throne. Whatever happens, whoever is leading here on earth, you are on the throne of heaven. And one day, you will come again to set it all right. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Amen.